This is After Hours, a unique hour-long program of eclectic music ranging in genres from smooth jazz to classical, from new age to show tunes, and from pop to bluegrass. I'm your host, Kevin Fenner. When I was growing up in the 1960s, I thoroughly enjoyed listening to comedy albums. In fact, in the seventh grade, my English class was assigned to do a speech. My speech was reciting one of the routines from the Bob Newhart album that I had memorized at home. The teacher liked it so much that I got to recite another one a few days later. The first routine was off of the Button Down Mind of Bob Newhart record album, and it was called The Driving Instructor. Since Newhart does the routine far better than I ever did, let's enjoy him doing it now.
As I said, there was a thing in the paper tonight about documentaries, and I've had an idea for a long time for what I think is a wonderful documentary, which has everything. For instance, you go to work, you come home at night, and you never really think about it. It's mechanical, it's routine. But there are a group of men who every day, when they go to work, never know if that night they'll return, because they face death in 100 different ways. And I'm talking about America's driving instructors. And I'd like to present the first episode in the new TV series called The Driving Instructor. Now, I'd like to have you picture, if you would. This is a car. I'm the driving instructor, and seated next to me is a woman driver. How do you do? You're Mrs. Webb, is that right? Oh, I see you've had one lesson already. Who is the instructor on that, Mrs. Webb? Mr. Adams. I'm sorry, here it is, Mr. Adams. Just let me read ahead and kind of familiarize myself with the case. How fast were you going when Mr. Adams jumped from the car? 75. And where was that? In your driveway. How far had Mr. Adams gotten in the lesson? Backing out. I see you were backing out at 75, and that's when he jumped. Did he cover starting the car and the other way of stopping? What's the other way of stopping? Throwing it in reverse. That's it. Oh, that would do it. You're right. That would do it. All right. You want to start the car? Mrs. Webb, you just turned on the lights. You want to start the car? They all look alike, don't they? I don't know why they design them that way. All right, let's pull out into traffic. Now, what's the first thing we're going to do before we pull out into traffic? What did Mr. Adams do before he let you pull out into traffic? Well, I mean, besides praying, let's say. No, what I had in mind was checking the rear view mirror. You see, we always want to check the rear... Don't pull out! please don't cry. I'm sorry. But there was this bus, Mrs. Webb. All right. The lane is clear now. You want to pull out? Oh, no, that wasn't bad at all. You might try it a little slower next time. All right. Let's get up a bit more speed and gradually ease it into second. Well, I didn't want to cover reverse this early, but as long as you've shifted into it, of course you're nervous. I'm nervous. I'm not just saying that. I'm really very nervous. Well, just don't pay any attention to their honking. You're doing fine. You're not blocking anyone's lane. No, as long as you're here on the safety island, you're not blocking anyone's lane. All right, you want to start the car? While you're turning the lights off, why don't you turn off the heater? All right, there we are. Let's get up a bit of speed. That's the way. Now, let's practice some turns. The important thing on turns is not to make them too sharp, just kind of make a gradual... Oh, now that was fine. That was a wonderful turn. It's hard for me to believe you only have two lessons after you make a turn like that. Are you sure you haven't had more now? Well, I find that very difficult to believe. One little thing, this is a one-way street. Well, no, actually it was partially my fault, you see, but you were in the left-hand lane and you were signaling left, and I just more or less assumed you were going to turn left. Same to you, fella. No, I don't know what he said, Mrs. Webb. All right, let's pull into the alley up there and practice a little alley driving. This is this is something a lot of the schools leave out that we think is pretty. You're going too fast, Mrs. Webb. You're up around 60, and it's kind of a sharp turn there. All right, let's just drive down the alley. That's the way. Mrs. Webb, maybe we better stop here. Well, I don't think you're going to make it between the truck and the building. Mrs. Webb? Mrs. Webb, I don't think you're going to... Mrs. Webb! I really didn't think you were going to make it. That just shows you we can be wrong, too. No, I'll get out on your side. That's all right. Mrs. Webb, maybe it might be a good idea if we went over to the driving area. They have a student driver area over a few blocks away, and maybe traffic throws you. Maybe that's the problem. Well, turn here on the street, right, and it's only about a block up. All right, turn right here. Well, now, that was my fault again. You see, I meant the next street. not this man's lawn. Sir, would you mind turning off the sprinkler for just a minute? Newly seated, is that right? That's always the way, isn't it? Well, I don't suppose it is so damn funny. All right, Mrs. Webb, you want to back out and get off the man's creeping bend, is that right? Just back out, Mrs. Webb. Thank you very much, sir, for... Oh, now we hit someone, Mrs. Webb. Remember, you're going to watch the rearview mirror. Remember, we covered that. The red light blinded you. The flashing red light blinded you. The flashing red light on the car you hit. Yes, officer, she was just telling me about it. All right. Mrs. Webb, I'm going to have to go with the officer to the police station. They don't believe it, and they'd like... They'd like me to describe it. And now the other officer is going to get in the car, and he's going to drive you back to the driving school, and then you're to meet us at the police station. My name is Frank Dexter. Why do you ask? You want to be sure and get me next time?
Bob Newhart is still going strong at 91 years old. He was born in Oak Park, Illinois, and of course was noted for his stand-up comedy and TV sitcoms. I've always enjoyed his delivery and the routines pretending to talk on the phone. Here's another routine from his button-down mind, introducing tobacco to civilization.
Milestones are never really recognized right away. It takes 50, 60 years before people realize what a achievement it is. Like, take for instance tobacco and the discovery of tobacco. It was discovered by Sir Walter Raleigh. You know, and he sent it over to England from the colonies. And it seems to me the uses of tobacco aren't obvious right off the bat, you know. And I imagine a phone conversation between Sir Walter Raleigh and the head of the West Indies Company in England, explaining about the shipment of tobacco that he had just sent over. I think it would go something like this. Yeah, who is it, Mary? Sir Walter Raleigh from the colony. Oh, yeah, put him on, will you? Hey, Harry? Yeah, you want to pick up the extension? It's Nutty Wall again. Hi, Walt, baby. How are you, guy? How's everything going? Oh, things are fine here, Walt. Did we get the what? The boatload of turkeys. Yeah, they arrived fine, Walt. As a matter of fact, they're still here, Walt. They're wandering all over London, as a matter of fact. See, that's an American holiday, Walt. But what is it this time, Walt? You got another winner for us, do you? Tobacco. What's tobacco, Walt? It's a kind of leaf. And you bought 80 tons of it. Let me get this straight now, Walt. You bought 80 tons of leaves? This may come as kind of a surprise to you, Walt, but come fall in England here, we're kind of up to our... It isn't that kind of leaf. But what is it? A special food of some kind, is it, Walt? Not exactly. It has a lot of different uses. Like, what are some of the uses, Walt? Are you saying snuff, Walt? What's snuff? You take a pinch of tobacco. And you shove it up your nose. And it makes you sneeze, huh? I imagine it would, Walt, yeah. See, goldenrod seems to do it pretty well over here. It has some other uses, though. You can chew it or put it in a pipe. Or you can shred it up and put it on a piece of paper and roll it up. Don't tell me, Walt. Don't tell me. You stick it in your ear, right, Walt? All between your lips. Well, then what do you do to it, Walt? You set fire to it, Walt. Then what do you do, Walt? You inhale the smoke. You know, Walt, it seems offhand like you can stand in front of your fireplace and have the same thing going for you, you know? See, Walt, we've been a little worried about you, you know? Ever since you put your cape down over that mud, you know? See, Walt, I think you're going to have kind of a tough time selling people on sticking burning leaves in their mouth. It's going very big over there, is it? What's the matter, Walt? You spilt your what? Your coffee. What's coffee, Walt? That's a drink you make out of beans, huh? That's going over very big there, too, is it? A lot of people have the coffee right after their first cigarette in the morning. Huh? Is that what you call a burning leaves, Walt? Cigarettes? Uh-huh. I'll tell you what, Walt. Why don't you send us a boatload of those beans, too? If you can talk people into putting those burning leaves in their mouth, they gotta go for those beans, Walt. Right. And listen, Walt, don't call us, we'll call you. Right, Walt, goodbye, goodbye.
You're listening to After Hours, broadcasting on 101.5 FM at WHRU-LP, Huntley Community Radio. Another comedian that I enjoy is Jean Robertson. She was Miss North Carolina in 1963 and went on to be a physical education teacher. Later, she became a motivational speaker and humorist. She's married to Jerry. When she refers to Jerry in her routines, she calls him left brain, since he is an extremely concrete thinker. Here she talks about a vacation trip she took with left brain.
Point is to look for the humor around us every day. Left brain and I wound up in Nanaimo, Canada, about a year ago. We had 5 hours to kill before we took the ferry. We went straight to the Visitors Bureau, and I said, we've got a rental car for 5 more hours. Young woman sitting there, you know, young, these wonderful, smart Elon students here. They know I don't really am talking about them. This was another caliber person here. She's sitting right there, and I said, what would you suggest that we do for 5 hours? And she said, well, pulled out some flyers and some brochures, and she said, oh, I know what. Pointed to the map and said, if you'll go back to the terminal ferry area right down the street and go south for 13 kilometers, you'll come to the Nanaimo River, named after the town. I said, all right. She said, and just go a little further and you'll find the Nanaimo man-made bridge. I said, named after the town and the river. She said, that's right. And if you'll go out there right now, you can bungee jump. Have you ever wanted to take a young person's face in your hands and say lovingly, are you in there? Are you in there? Look at us. Just look at us. Left brain at that time was 68 years old. Thin, solid white hair, also thin. I was 62 years old, not as thin as I once was, and my hair is Clairol Tweed number 14. We don't look like we would bungee jump. But I knew that left brain didn't know what she was talking about. Because when you've been married a long time, you know who the other one knows, what they know. I think we know those, but you don't know those people. I'm telling you that. You don't know those people. So I said, do you know what she's talking about? Left brain said, I'm not sure I do. What she wants us to do, honey, go out to that river and get on that bridge and put on some kind of boots with ropes and things on them. And then when we're secure, we go to the edge of that bridge and we hurl our body off that and we hang upside down. She said 140 feet. Thank you. We're going to drop 140 feet and we're going to hang there until somebody reels us up. Left brain said, I can't do that. My teeth will fall out. This young person a well-intended said, oh, no, sir, there's somebody up on the bridge, and before you jump, they'll always have the people take out their hearing aids and their teeth and their... Beam me up, Scotty. Wait a minute. Just wait a minute. How many people do you have that come out there and before they jump, first have to put their teeth in their hearing aid? What do you say? Put your three-prong walker against a tree? Well, she was almost defensive, and she, because we were laughing, and she said, well, you get your money's worth, because you do a whole lot more than just hang there. She said, because when you pop, that bungee cord brings you way over here, and then over here, and it's like a pendulum. You go back. It's a ride, she said, until finally you stop, so you get your money's worth. Left Brain said, I'll tell you what, I don't want to do it, honey, but we got to go out there and see it. And when she heard see it, her eyes got as big as plates. She said, oh, if you just want to see it, you should come back the weekend after Valentine's Day. That's when they raise money for charities and people jump in the nude. Said, what'd she say? Naked. She wants us to jump naked. In Canada in February, we're going to come up here and jump naked. We started laughing so much. Finally, I said, wait a minute, left brain, we're missing the whole boat here. This might be a good thing. With all the sagging areas on our bodies, if we could hang there long enough naked, we might could knock a few things back in place. And he said, no, we can't do that because of that swinging part. With all the sagging areas on our body, we're liable to start rolling and slap ourselves silly. We could barely get out of the building. We got outside and left Frank just as serious. Oh, honey, I love you so much, but you were just as serious. She said, I'll tell you, I do want to ride out there and see it, but I'll guarantee you, you're never going to get me to spongy jump. Right there. It's why I laughed so hard my water broke and I wasn't even pregnant.
In the next segment, Jean talks about the Christmas gift tradition she shared with Left Brain.
So why was I surprised when he said after we got married, let's just swap $5 gifts at Christmas? And I thought, man alive. The problem was, though, I was going ahead and buying him good gifts at $20 and telling him I got it on sale. And I was getting just junk. You can't imagine the stuff. So after years, I said to him, don't you think we ought to do more? I have a job. You have a job. I'm giving speeches. And I think we can afford to do it some more. And he said, well, honey, and I thought, I don't want to disappoint him and think I'm not a good person. And he said, well, you want to go to $7.50? I said, no. I don't want to go to $7.50, honey. So we went to $10. The next Christmas, I got three. Count them, 1, 2, 3 placemats. Because if I had gotten the fourth placemat, it would have thrown us over the $10 limit. For a year, I looked for that fourth placemat, and it was in the filing cabinet, not under placemat. He said, so you might have thought of that. He had it just under eat.
So I finally said, honey, this is not working. And I remember the day I told him. I was in the kitchen, and I'm not in the kitchen much. I'm not a kitchen person. But I was trying to fix supper, and therefore I was trying to open a can. Can't eat if we can't get into cans. And I had one of those clamp down. Then you turn it and turn it. And if you're turning it this way, it looks like a helicopter going around up here and all this kind of, and my wrist was hurting. And I said, okay, I'll tell you what I want. Because he had said to me what people say. I'd give you something, honey, if I knew what you really wanted. And I said, well, I'm going to make it clear. I drop hints all year, but you don't pick up on them. And he said, well, I guess not. And I said, our electric can opener is broken. Let me repeat. The electric can opener is broken. Now, I could go get one myself. What are they, $9.99, $14.95? I don't know. But I said to him, look at me. I'm almost breaking my wrist trying to get into this can. And look right here on this can opener. There is rust. Botulism. We're going to get botulism. Now, that gives you a clue. Okay, just the women in here. What did I want for Christmas? Electric can opener. Beautiful box. Christmas morning, open it up, and there's another butterfly can opener, just like the one I had.
Stay tuned for the second half of After Hours, where we'll feature Mark Twain, and I'll read a funny sketch.